is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:01 on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Warren Sharp, is joining us. SharpFootballStats.com. SharpFootballStats.com. You can find the Texans at, what is it, Sharp Football? At Sharp Football, Warren?
Yep, you can follow at Sharp Football on Twitter.
At Sharp Football on Twitter. He just tweeted out the Texans lines every game. Now, there's a circle around them. You can only bet 500 on these games right now because it's so far away from the season. You're going to put a limit on it. But I love to look at these, and there are a lot of games that you will see right now. Let's say, for example, let's take a look at the Cowboys game. Right now, in Week 5, the Texans are going to play the Cowboys, and you've got them. Or is this Vegas or you?
No, this is actually Cancer Technology out in Las Vegas. You can actually bet money on these all the way up through Week 16. They don't do Week 17 because of all the playoff scenarios and how volatile that week is, but they do line up to week 16. And if you see any games that you like along the way, of course, the entire season, you can bet at least 500. You can bet a maximum of $500.
A max of 500 is a circle around them because they don't want to get killed on any one game. So the Cowboys in week 5, the Texans are 3-point favorites. That's an interesting line to me. The Broncos in week 9, it's basically a pick 'em, right? They're away at the Broncos. That's a game for me that I look at that and I say, well, let's see how well Case Keenum is playing. Case Keenum played. That one to me has a real possibility of being a line that's going to be off by game time. I think by game time, the Broncos could be a much bigger favorite than what we're seeing here right now.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we as professional bettors are going to look for is in these games, we're not looking to tie up our money for a few months on games that we don't think will have any value come kickoff. And what that means is you want to find games that are going to possibly move in the direction that you are betting them so that by game time, you can come back the other way. So, for example, like you were just discussing, at Denver, Houston is a pick 'em. Now, standard home field advantage would be 3 points for Denver being favored, and obviously they have a home field advantage with the altitude. So they should be probably laying points, but obviously Las Vegas right now, and Cancer Technology in particular, viewing you guys as decisive favorites, the decisive better team. That's why you're not catching any points there. But by kickoff, if you think that Denver probably would be favored and get that home field advantage back a little bit, then you may want to take Denver at a pick 'em, and then you can come back obviously later and take Houston plus the points if Denver becomes favorite, and then you're basically in a nice situation there.
You know, so I used to have my own handicapping business when I first got started, kind of the way I got started in a lot of things. And it really was great for just becoming much more analytical. You have to be analytical. You have to take the emotion out. You have to understand how emotion plays a part, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the great discussions even then when I started it, you know, over 20 years ago was about home field advantage. And how NFL home field advantage isn't as decisive as it is in college, not even remotely close. Where do you see home field advantage right now? We'll go specifically for the Texans, but around the NFL, how important right now is home field advantage from, you know, in terms of how it plays into the point spread?
Well,
what's the value? I mean, what's the value?
Yeah, I think the standard average of 3 points is still discussed as the standard average, but I think the professionals have gotten a lot more specific with regards to each team is going to get a slightly different home field advantage across the league, and right, many teams are not even going to get the standard 3 points. It depends a lot, in my opinion, and I do some rankings in terms of coaching. And, you know, some teams are better coached on the road than other teams, and some teams have better focus in different situations. So to me, it's not even just who you are exactly playing at home, But it also factors in, like, what type of edge does your team typically have at home? And then you can factor in travel, and you can factor in back-to-back weeks. And there's just so many different things that you can factor into it. But at the end of the day, the reality is we're going to be bickering over a few decimal points, because typically even the worst home field advantage team is still going to be laying at least 2 points at home, just based on their home field advantage. And even the best home field team is probably going to be right around 3.5. On occasion, if back in the day, back a couple of years ago, when Seattle was just so dominant at home and the crowd noise was just reverberating off of the roof and they played in prime time, you know, you might have seen like some professionals think of them as having a 4-point home field advantage, but that's a very rare situation. So in most cases, it's still 3 is the average that gets tossed out, and I think most line makers at the sports books are going to consider 3 the standard home field advantage because most of the public still thinks of it that way. But I think there are shades around the 3 that most of the professionals have realized that, you know, home field is not necessarily worth 3 points every single week.
Warren Sharp with us here on ESPN 97.5. Okay, let's take a look back again. Let's get back to the Texans. And early on, the Patriots are 7-point favorites. That's week one. That's probably going to be pretty close, especially the early games, because you don't know how much better teams are going to be than that's probably pretty accurate. They are a pick 'em against Tennessee at Tennessee in week two. The Texans are 6-point favorites against the Giants in week three. We mentioned the Cowboys 3 in week five. The Texans are favored there. I'm looking, okay, Denver week 9. And isn't it later in the season that you're going to get your discrepancies more so, because now teams, we know who they are. And later in the season is where you can find some value in if you can foresee how good or poor teams are. Lance and I both think that the Browns are going to be a better football team than people think. The Texans are 10-point favorites against the Browns right now. I think by game time, that's going to be less than 10 points. What do you think?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think that the Browns, look, the Browns were a better team than 0-16 last year. They just had some terrible coaching decisions, in my opinion, with regard to the way that they were forcing John Kaiser to throw the football like a veteran. They weren't really modifying enough of their offense to fit his skill set. And in addition, I mean, defensively, they just played such horrible, horrific pass defense. And I think some of that was coaching involved, and I think now they got a new cornerback, so they're going to be a little bit better on that side of the ball as well. But the final tally in terms of the standings did not really reflect the caliber of that football team. I think that in general, you guys are getting a lot of respect on these lines. I mean, you're favored in 9 of your games as you're playing this year. You're only underdogs in 4 of them that they've lined. Of course, we don't have the lines on their last game of the season. But you guys are getting a ton of respect and love with Watson coming back. I mean, that's what this is all about. At the end of the day, if you look at the teams that have substantial win increases from projected this year as compared to last year, and of course, you know, you guys have a sizable win increase this year. You only won 4 games last year, but this year you're projected to win at some books 9 games, at most of the books 8.5 games. That's a sizable increase, and the teams that have those sizable increases are teams like the Green Bay Packers, who are getting back Aaron Rodgers, and the San Francisco 49ers, who are getting Jimmy Garoppolo for the full season, and then yourselves. And, of course, the Browns, who didn't win any games last year. So it's mainly quarterback-induced, and I think that everybody's in love with what they saw from a brief glimpse of Watson last year.
You know, the tricky thing, though, I think, is that there's such a vast difference in their offense, Watson and non-Watson. I think any kind of future plays on the Texans is incredibly speculative and incredibly dangerous, because if Watson doesn't play, you're finished. Because they were so bad offensively that I've never seen a difference. I don't think in the history of watching football have I seen a difference in offensive output from one quarterback to the second quarterback. It was truly astounding on the high end. I mean, we're talking over 30 a game for a rookie.
True.
And under 16 for the backup. Like, that's a 16-point swing. That's unheard of. So the, anything futures-wise, Texans, you know, you could say, well, if Carson Wentz isn't there, you might get something from Foles. You still got a chance to close the gap and still win games. With the Texans, you're done. You might as well tear your ticket up because it's over if Deshaun Watson doesn't play. Okay. That's a little tricky.
All right, well, then, Warren, if you're worried about Deshaun Watson making it through the season, don't you bet on the other side now, later in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a great example of where you have a lot of love towards one quarterback and a lot of hate towards another quarterback, and it's when you guys are laying 7.5 points to the Indianapolis Colts week 14. That's a prime situation where you have a quarterback in Andrew Luck who the sportsbooks right now are very hesitant to give any credence to the fact that he's actually going to be playing this year. So they've set their win total extremely low for the Indianapolis Colts. Right now they're projected to win between 6 and 6.5 games. That's what their win projection is, and that's primarily because they don't really feel like Andrew Luck is going to be there for the season or at least all of the season. And then you've got your team, obviously, who is laying 7.5 points to the Indianapolis Colts. And the projection that Deshaun Watson is going to be there and be healthy. So I think that's a key example of a game late in the season where you can bet on a quarterback and against another one simply by taking the Indianapolis Colts +7.5.
The Jets are 1.5 favorite in Week 15. Why?
Well, they are on the road, and they presume, I think, at that point in time that the Jets are going to be a better team than they are currently. If you look at your road games right now, and some of these lines, to me at least, don't make a ton of sense. Again, we have hate for Andrew Luck week 4 when they go into Indianapolis. They're laying 3 points.
The Texans are 3-point favorites.
The Texans are 3-point favorites, and the Texans are 3-point favorites in Washington, which, again, it seems like a pretty high number to me at this point in the offseason, at least, given what we don't know about the Washington Redskins this year. But then, for the most part, that's the only two games that they're road favorites. I think the Jets one is equally suspicious to me, that they're only catching 1.5 points there. I think they should be laying points in New York later in the season. We're probably going to be seeing Sam Darnold by then, unless Cantor is believing that Darnold will be acclimated at that point in time and be playing better. It's just odd to me that they would be catching points in week 15.
So is that something that you would play the Texans? Okay, what games would you play right now that they look like these lines are off for you?
For me, personally, I would be looking at backing the opposing team. I would be taking the Cleveland Browns week 13. I'd be taking the Indianapolis Colts week 14. I would be looking to take the Texans week 15. And then if we're talking catching 1.5 points in New York, and then if we're talking earlier on in the season, I think that there's a good chance that you are correct in Denver. That's going to be a difficult place to play, that you may want to look at taking Denver at Pick'em right now. Those are the games that I would be looking at currently. I'm not going to be laying a lot of points with the Texans at home, even though I think that they will have a good season. And most of their home lines, with the exception of the Cowboys, which is only 3, and I think the Cowboys may struggle this year, so that's one where I may look at the Texans. Apart from that, I'm not going to lay more than that at home with the Texans. And right now, I mean, predominantly, you're talking about they're laying 6 to the Giants, 6 to the Bills, 7 to the Dolphins, and then the last two games I just mentioned, the Browns and the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm not looking at taking them in any of those games at the moment. I'd be looking at taking them when they're on the road with a shorter number, or I'd be looking at taking their opponent at home when they're catching a lot of points, because I just think there's a lot of hype around the Texans. And even though I love what Watson brought to the table last year, and I had a lot of fun betting on some of their overs and cashing, I just can't buy into it right now, thinking that they're going to just sail by double digits over a number of these teams, which I think are going to be improved from what they were last year.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. I think Texans are way overvalued right now. Like, your defensive backs are still the same. your defensive issues are
not really. You got Matthew, you got Colvin. I mean, they're not the same. Yeah, and you got Justin Reed. I mean, they're not the same.
Yeah, no, I guess you're right. I don't know what to expect from. Well, I do think he's going to be a starting safety, who's a rookie. So yeah, we have to see. I didn't think, you know. I think Tyrann Mathieu's a great name, and he's had a great background, but he has some coverage issues.
I think he'll flourish in this defense if they ask JJ, Clowney, and Merciless stay healthy.
There's a lot of ifs with the Texans, more so than any other team that we'll talk about. And you know what? The other team that's ready for a big jump is going to be the Chargers. The Chargers are ready for a big jump, I think, Warren. And that's, I know we're a little past it, but defensively, they're already good. I think they'll get even better. And I don't think Phillip Rivers is the type of guy who takes a big step backwards even as he gets older, because he was never reliant upon physical talent. It was always more about beating you mentally, and he can keep doing that. So I don't think you're going to see big fall-offs from guys who aren't more, you know, reliant upon the physical. The guys who rely on the mental, they typically don't fall off as fast.
Yeah, I'm a big Chargers fan. Now, I was a big Chargers fan last year as well, and of course they probably should have made it to the playoffs.
Sure.
Their roster certainly was good enough. They had remember the beginning of the season, like their first 5-6 games, they had the field goal kicker in there who was just missing all these kicks that would have won them games. Mm-hmm. And then of course you had just inefficient coaching, and that's the unfortunate thing. If you talk about teams that I think are ready to make a step ahead this year, we're going to talk about two teams like the Browns and the Chargers, but yet they still have predominantly a lot of the same pieces on the coaching staff, and that's the thing that's holding them back, in my opinion. The smart thing I think that they did was they released Antonio Gates. Now, Gates, last year, once he caught the touchdown that broke the record for most touchdowns by a tight end in career history in the NFL, they should have transitioned over to Hunter Henry big time. Hunter Henry was so much more efficient, such a better receiver. Antonio Gates well past his prime, and yet they continued to do a pretty even split for a number of weeks, and that actually cost them on the football field. And then you talk about some of the injuries they had. Their defense is just really, really good. And right now, if you look at their lines, they're favored in 10 games this year. They're underdogs in only 3 games, and those games are on the road in L.A. against the Rams, catching 3.5, in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, catching 4.5, and in Kansas City, only catching 2.5, which means the odds makers, because Kansas City is one of the teams, especially at home, that has that home field advantage. So the odds makers are believing that the Chargers are a little bit better than the Chiefs right now. That's it. Every other game, they're either pick 'em or favored, and most of them, they're favored in 10, underdogs in only 3. I think the Chargers are in for a good season. I just hope that another thing that they were doing inefficiently was running Melvin Gordon too much and too predictably on first down. If they can clean up some of those things, I definitely think that the Chargers are the potential for a double-digit win team, especially with what we've seen from the AFC West, you know, this past year. We've seen the Denver Broncos, they're not quite as good, I believe, as what they've been obviously when they had Manning. Their team is probably a little bit better than what they were last year, but that's not saying a whole lot. And then you talk about the Chiefs in transition with Mahomes starting. What exactly are we going to get out of him? How good is their defense going to be? I think that AFC West is wide open, and with me not having a lot of faith in Oakland and what John Gruden is going to do there. So I think that they have a really good shot out West.
There he is, Warren Sharp, Sharp Football Stats. Go check it out, sharpfootballstats.com, at Sharp Football on Twitter. Great stuff as always. Man, we appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by. I saw that stuff, wanted to talk about those early lines. We appreciate you hanging with us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, there's Warren Sharp right here on ESPN. We had him on a bunch last year. Good stuff. Always good betting stuff with Warren Sharp. Great site, too. Sharp Football Stats.
Good analytic stuff, even if you don't care about handicapping and wagering and stuff like that. There's a lot of great information.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Hey, I want to talk about right now, as I mentioned, we were out having a couple of beers after the round yesterday, and it was great, meeting Matt and Leilani, and it was awesome. But, you know, we just had a couple of beers and whatnot, and you know what? You just take a couple of Thrive afterwards, Thrive Plus afterwards, and you know what? You feel great the next morning. That's what happens. It doesn't matter how much you drank. It is going to work on you, and that alcohol, even if it's just a glass of wine or two, it is going to work on your liver, and you're not going to feel the same. If you're 35 years or older, you're not going to feel the same. And if you want to wake up feeling better, because it's science. It's nothing that we can understand. It's Princeton scientists that have developed this. this works, goes to the capsules that you'll take in Thrive Plus go directly to your liver and work on the enzymes that the alcohol breaking down. And so if they're not breaking down those enzymes in your liver, you're going to feel better the next day. That's just a fact. It's science. There's nothing I can do about it. And it's so simple. At about $3 a dose, this is a no-brainer. To feel better the next day, Thrive Plus is the way to go. Go to decidethrive.com. They've got all kinds of stuff that you can buy, but it's so simple. It is so simple. They made it about as simple as possible to order. They'll send it to you. It's easy. Decidethrive.com. You want to feel better the next morning when you had a couple? That's easy. Decidethrive.com.
Into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Video of James... And where did Lance leave? Lance left the studio?
Yeah. It happens.
He waits till the end of the break and then he leaves.
I don't know what that is.
We were talking the whole break. We were talking about.
Does he have to go to the bathroom?
Different stuff. And then he just walks out.
He has no
Lance,
idea.
Where are you going?
I don't get it.
Lamont has put out a live look at Red Rowdy Lance if the Rockets win tonight. I thought his name was Thunder Sixth.
Well, I initially called him Red Rowdy, but Thunder Sixth works. So it just depends on how you're feeling.
Why am I Toro Johnny?
It's because I just needed to give you a nickname because of your defense of Bill O'Brien. That's all. And now you're Toro Johnny. I'm glad nicknames stick around here.
Trust me. And oh, by the way, Andy never closed the door.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't understand radio at all.
Okay, he leaves right before we come back on.
Can we have longer breaks?
And then he...
You were sitting here just talking. No, I was trying to get stuff done with advertisers.
What? No, you weren't. Did you have another meeting with Mr. Kyle?
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, no. No.
Tell Thunder Sticks to stop poo-pooing on the Texans. DW4 is our savior. Thank you.
Thunder Sticks.
That's your nickname. Did you know that?
We're going to be in the Final Four again.
Okay.
You know what? This year is going to be this is the year.
By again, you mean?
Yeah, they were in 2015.
Okay.
They were Final Four. That's good. Yeah. If you get to a Final Four in two out of the last, 4 years, that's pretty good.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you take that. Other than who's getting there from the... Well, what Spurs have done it twice in the last 4 years, same
LeBron
thing.
LeBron does it 10 out of 12 years.
He does it all the time.
I mean, he's compared to Jordan, so if that's the norm, then okay. I guess there's 100 Jordans out there.
Warriors do it every year now. Well,
that's two teams. That's what I'm saying.
Well, we could also not lose a game to a team that didn't have their best two perimeter players on the floor.
I do like that you said we. I like that.
I'm speaking as you. I mean, if I was Thunder Sticks like yourself, I would be excited about my team this year. But as far as congratulating them on that one conference finals appearance, I would think to myself, could it have been two in the last three, if not four, you know, the whole losing to a Kawhi-less and Tony Parker?
Last year should have been, last year should have been the case. That was a huge disappointment. It's not like we haven't all, everyone in the city said it was a huge disappointment. It was. James is a sucker. But yesterday I was on with my other show that I do called
The Blitz.
Maybe you guys have heard of it. Number one in the city called The Blitz, and I was on there. And Fred was. My other show.
I've heard you. Were you on with Dylan Raheel as well?
Yeah, I was being accused of leaving chewed gum because Raheel. I see.
I'd rather do it in Baytown. I eliminated you immediately. You don't chew gum.
I do, but I haven't actually for a while.
I haven't seen you two, Gunman.
No, I haven't for a while. And if you would have heard me, and I think the strongest part of my case was that do I drink and eat and clear throat? Do I do stuff on the air? Do I have any, you know, do I have any respect for the listeners? And their answer, yes, you do it all the time, which I was setting him up. I was setting Dell up. And I said, yeah, did you hear me chewing gum? Go to Podcast Arena. You can't hear me chewing gum. I was like,
did you call him a D-weed?
Case closed. No, I didn't do that.
Every time you say go to Podcast Arena, you have to say D-weed.
I can tell you this much, though. I guess in Sugarland, they snitch constantly because Raheel immediately, somebody left some gum here. And I saw, I don't know why I didn't do anything. I just saw it. I'm like, ugh. And I just kept going on with my day. Raheel immediately said, Jong, who is the program director, he's like, I just saw me. And he snitched.
Jong had sent out an email.
And Jong had to send an email. This is disgusting, which I meant Raheel ran out and ran like, Jong, come look at this. Come look at this. Raheel, just do it. Just go confront everybody. Start with Glenn Davis on the weekend because we, frankly, my other show called The Blitz, we have decided it was Glenn Davis.
I think it might have been Vince Rochelle. Okay.
Vince does the show in that other room.
Well, that's all right. He might have come over here and put it in there.
You might have.
He might have. I don't know.
I actually put Dell back on the map as a potential suspect.
I don't chew gum. Have you ever seen me chew gum? There. So that's the same thing that exonerates you should exonerate me. I don't chew gum. Have you ever seen me with a stick of gum? No.
Tyler had gum.
Tyler did?
Tyler had gum. And he had the kind that I have, which is grape icebreakers.
But I don't chew gum, so I'm out of this one, too.
All right, fine. You've been eliminated. I guess because you said you don't chew
gum. Have you seen me chew gum before? Have you seen me chew gum before?
I haven't, actually. I don't think so.
Thank you. I don't think so.
But let me get back to on my other show, The Blitz. We had a discussion about, he said, James is maybe the least likable star in Houston of all time. Uh-huh. I said, would he be in the top five? He goes, no. Top 10? No. Top 20? Least likable player. He goes, no. Top 30. I think it really depends on who you are.
Wait a minute. Would he be in the... He's the number one least likable player.
To some people.
Yeah.
But not to all people. See, that's the thing. We live in a bubble. There's a big bubble out there who doesn't dislike players or doesn't have the same feelings about players that a lot of times people in the media do.
Well, here's the thing is, watching him in Utah, every time he touched the ball, they booed. I think that a lot of it is because of his flopping, is because of his you know, crying. I think a lot of it, the hate. I don't think James is a beloved star at any level.
It's kind of weird because he has that unique look with the beard, he's got big eyes. Like he's got the little mohawk. He's got a unique look. He looks like a character from the old. I can't remember the game where you could punch each other in the face. The 2-on-2 game. Reggie was one of them with the goggles. Anyway, so he's kind of got a unique look. He's got a great game in terms of being able to get to the basket with the Euro step. He can hit
people
threes.
Hate
he
that,
can
especially in other cities. Hate that.
Hey, what?
Hate his Euro step because they think he's traveling, so no, they just hate him.
Then they need to be put down as humans.
Whoa.
We need to eliminate them as humans.
That's ugly.
I mean, if you're so dumb that you think Euro step, which is two steps,
right?
Like seriously.
Well, how much he goes to the line? How much he whines?
Okay, that's
and cries.
All. That's fine.
Yeah.
The Euro step. I've never even heard a debate about the Euro step being a
it's
travel.
It's more the step back. People think
and the
travel.
Step back is not a travel.
Everybody thinks he's traveling all the time.
And step back's not a travel. But no, right. I think even beyond that, there's something about him that keeps him from being like Dominique Wilkins. For whatever reason, he was a star, but he was not a superstar for some reason.
And
he
beloved.
Was a great scorer, explosive dunker, but he wasn't beloved nationally like some of the other.
We'll continue this on the other side. John Clay Wolf is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. It's GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. And John Clay is with us here. What's up, John Clay Wolf?
What is the difference between Eurostep and dubstep?
And what step?
Dubstep. Are you not familiar with dubstep?
No.
Being too old and too white?
Yes.
Okay, I'll let some of your more culturally diverse friends.
We're talking dubstep music.
Yeah, Lance knows dubstep.
Yeah,
I don't know dubstep.
It's just some electronic stuff.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm too old and white, if you want to know the truth, John Clay Wolf. That is you.
Hey, you'd be proud of me, Granado. I got kicked off of a station last Saturday.
What? I told you. You can.
Grand opening?
Was it because of the goat?
No, they didn't even carry that part. It was that they sent the program director, who got crammed down by corporate, who hated us to begin with, like put a greatest hits collection together of all of our off-color comments of the day,
mm-hmm.
and sent it to the CEO of Cumulus. And I really thought this stuff was funny. I'll send it to you. I mean, I was kind of proud of it.
I would be too. If it's off-color, I think it's awesome.
But it was within the lines, man. It wasn't the dope boy getting raped.
Sometimes you're a little over the line, but that's another story. Here's the deal is that you should be proud. You got kicked off a station. I've been fired a few times. It's fun. Listen.
It's my fourth one.
Good for you.
Well, we're non-radio. And people who don't know who we are, we listen to our radio show on Saturday mornings. But what I'm here for is givemethevin.com. We buy cars. We beat CarMax. If we don't beat their offer, we'll send you a check for $100. It's not one of those, you know, you're broke, you're dying, gasping for air, and we'll give you half price. We buy nice cars and we pay too much for them. We're more like Neiman Marcus instead of Cash America. We buy nice cars, we pay the moon for them. We pay more money for your Lexus than the Lexus dealer will. Give me the VIN.com and give it a try.
GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. And listen, Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5.
Thanks, Eric.
Your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. No, Childish Altuve. You can't borrow a car and then sell it to John Clay Wolf. You have to own it. Okay?
That's called theft.
So, okay, let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Of the stars, even superstars in this city, name one that is less likable than James Harden.
By whose standards? The fans?
No, yeah.
Or you're by your own?
Well, likable is obviously is subjective.
Very subjective.
So, okay. But is he as likable as the Dream?
No.
As Clyde?
No, he's going to be lower.
As Bidge, as Bagwell, as Altuve, as Correa, as J.J. Watt, as Deshaun, as...
Deshaun's been here six games. Let's see what happens if he comes out and plays like...
Deshaun took his first paycheck and paid women in the...
Well, that's
gave
true.
It to the women
that's
in true. The... You know.
Let's see. Everyone loved Lima, and then when he... Got to Minute Maid.
I'm talking about stars.
Like,
I'm talking about real stars.
All right. Well, let's see. Deshaun needs to keep doing it. I mean, there's just been so many guys who have started off, gotten off to good starts, and slow down. Like, I can't assume Deshaun's going to average 30 points a game for the rest of his life. It's just highly unlikely. We're setting ourselves up to be incredibly disappointed.
Or
he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Thank you.
I mean, because there's no other in between. He'll average 45 touchdowns a game and be the greatest quarterback of all time by year seven.
Yeah. Okay, and that's Toro Johnny said, yeah, okay, I'm all about that. Okay?
Toro Johnny. He's going to, James, now a lot of that changes if they go to the NBA Finals. Bidge and Bagwell also got to a World Series. A lot of this changes. If they win a championship, that changes a great deal for James Harden. I think the fans lock in on James Harden. Our stuff has much less to do with basketball than, you know, personality. And that's not really fair to the basketball player. Because I can tell you this, fans don't hate the Texans. Fans don't hate the Rockets. Fans don't hate this player or that player as much as they hate ancillary players like Derek Bell and and guys who, you know, they hate Brock. Man, Brock was different. Brock is terrible.
Dave Clark.
But they pick up on things like that. Tom Savage. Tom Savage is just a backup quarterback who was never going to be a long-term guy here. Well, so let's see. I think people really love James Harden. The fans do. I think the fans really love him. I think there's a smaller segment, and we're also in a much more cynical time now than any of the guys you mentioned. However, I would say this. If there's 100% of the fan base, I think a good 80% love James Harden. I think the other 20% are like, and that 20 is high. For a superstar, usually a superstar probably gets 98% buy-in. I think James is all the way down, is probably only at 80 for a lot of the same reasons that we think about, you know, the basketball stuff. They're like, I love what he provides. I just don't trust him. And I still can't forget what he's done in the past.
That's right.
And I think that's
in the
where
biggest moments, James has faded.
And he has to eliminate that. He has to win at a high level. And that means at a minimum, he's got to get to the NBA finals. The idea that I'm telling you, the idea that, well, it depends on how they play. If they play really well, but the Warriors win, it ain't going to matter. People are going to say, James couldn't get to the finals. This is the best year, best possible chance ever. It may look like it on paper, they might say that. But if it happens and they lose and James doesn't play well in like every game, people will point to any game that they lost, say, look what James did right there. He's got to get to a finals. And then once he's there, a new bar gets set and he's got to win the finals. It's not going to change.
I don't know. I'm going to be okay with them if they play well. I mean, I think we're looking
Remember
at an all-time team. Oh, absolutely. I wrote it. I'm going to feel that way.
And what if they get beat 4-1, but they play well in all but one of the games, but they lose by, you know, anywhere from 3-5, and it's 113-111, but they go out 4-1. Are you going to give them credit for all those close
4-1
losses?
4-1 ain't all that great.
No, but they played well in all those games. They just got beat at the end of the game.
If they were close, yay. Then yeah.
Nah, 4-1, you're not going to put up a 4-1.
No, yeah, I will. If every game was close and they were competitive and they, you know, I don't want to see what I saw last year against the Spurs. And that's me. And everybody's different. And what?
No, everybody's not different. Nobody wants to see what they saw against the Spurs.
No.
That was
no,
terrible.
Right. But I would be, if all the games are close and it was 4-1, say, you know what? You're playing an all-time great team right now. Or you will.
They will be known. They will be known as that. Yeah. Make no mistake, Golden State is going to be known as that.
Yes, they will be.
You're
in a time, right.
Sure.
Just like all those guys were in the time with Jordan, we're in a time right now where Golden State is a great team. A great team.
They're a Lakers-type team.
If the Rockets, I don't know who to compare them to, the Golden State. Let's say, okay, just use the Bulls. If the Rockets are the Golden State, are the Warriors' foil for the next, including this year and the next year before all the money gets involved and Golden State has to break it up, it appears, are you going to be fine with, well, we are the Knicks in the
Jordan's
Jordan
Bulls? Yeah, that's a good question. Because that team is not known as an all-time great. They were a good team. And this team isn't. This Rockets team can't be known as an all-time great. They haven't done anything.
The Knicks Pacers, but the Knicks probably would have made more multiple finals if not for Jordan being around.
I think there's a chance that you do. You know what? That's a good question because there is a decent chance that you could have that one-year breakthrough. And that's all it turns into is you're only able to do it once. But odds are when you have a team that's got a great run that you break through and you take them out at least 1 year. And then sometimes it reverts back to form. But I do think this – you know, the Rockets do have a chance if they're going to be that foil to break through 1 year. And this could be that 1 year that they break through. I don't know that this is a changing of the guard type situation between Golden State and Houston. I mean, even if Houston wins this year, Golden State's still going to be considered the favorite headed into 2019.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
Absolutely. All right, let's catch up. 713-780-3776 to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you that Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they've got some tremendous offers going on for you, and I want to get to it right now. You can go to Angleton. You don't have to put up with the car dealer runaround over there. They are very serious about how they treat your trip out there. They want to make sure that you, when you make the trip out there, they want to take care of the customer. And over the years, I brought three different vehicles from Craig DeSurf. every single time. It was an easy process. It was an easy situation. And you know what? Now, more than ever, you've got a chance to experience that for yourself. 2018 Chevy 1500 Crew Cab LT models, employee pricing for everyone, minus all the rebates, up to $13,000 off MSRP. $8,000 off in-stock 2018 GMC Acadias SLTs. And they have a few of the 2017 brand new ones left as well. Crazy pricing. They want to move the 17s off the lot. That's where you're really getting steals as well. Give them a call if you like at 855-944-6074. Or you know what? Just go to the website. You can get the phone number there and you can see all the vehicles they have in stock at LanceZCars.com. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
This is Jose Altuve, All-Star and MVP. If you need a new vehicle, get down to GovCut Chevrolet with GMC. Chevy, find new roads.
Time to talk about Rich Drake over at Renters Warehouse. RentersWarehouse.com. RentersWarehouse.com. What they're doing over there, spectacular. If you haven't, if you're somebody that cannot be more sick of driving, of your commute, and you're just like, dude, I can't do this anymore. I can't live here. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to Wendy's uncle last night, and he was like, I drove an hour and a half each way, 3 hours. 3 hours every day when I was commuting from Kingwood. And he said it gave me a heart. If you want to know, he had a heart attack. So if you're sick of it and you just can't do it anymore, you want to move in closer. Well, someone will rent your home. Someone will do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what, I don't care who it is and all that matters. Now, I don't care. You probably do care a great deal who it is. But I know this much. When you go to renterswarehouse.com, they will show you what it means for you to have a rental property or a company that handles rental properties like Renters Warehouse. Get your company and your property marketed, be able to get the top value for it and top price for it, and then take care of all of it, including finding you renters and even warrantying renters for you. Go to renterswarehouse.com or call them today at 713-224-RENT. That's 713-224-RENT.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, I think this is a pretty good call here. Dream Shakes, I think Harden locally is hard to root for sometimes because of his efforts on defense.
It's been, yeah, that's,
you know,
in
what?
The past has been,
yeah, how about
issue.
When you finish second in scoring in the league and you don't make the top three, first, second, or third team all NBA? That's not only locally. I think that is that's a thought nationally.
Well, and that came out at the time. Well, his team was 41-41. And that also came out the year that the hype video for bad defense came out. It came out the year before late, but it really reemerged and became a big deal. That year you're talking
Charles
about, which is
and
16.
Charles and Shaq destroyed him.
He deserved to be destroyed.
Destroyed him for his effort in the postseason, his defensive effort
post-season.
In the postseason.
How about all 82 games?
All 82
the
games.
The guy just did.
No,
if you
care.
Don't try,
well,
look,
that,
there's
that
been
made
of,
him very unlikable, though.
Magic was a bad defensive player. There have been a lot of superstars who are not good defensive players. But you got to at least fool people with a little more effort. His stuff, like you probably back in the day could have got some really embarrassing stuff of superstars too. If you had the same technology, you cut it up, you put it on YouTube, it went viral. James Harden would have been just another guy who didn't play defense back in the 80s. But that's not where we are right now. And he gave no effort. He was pathetic. Like, he would just sit there and watch the ball, and guys would back cut him. And I was like, you got to assume that got uncomfortable in film sessions with the team. It had to get uncomfortable with films. But he is playing more. And they had the video the other day in Game 3 where he and Chris Paul were arguing during a timeout. And this is during an ass-kicking where they're kicking the Jazz's ass. Chris Paul tried to finally, after an argument, fist bump him. James slapped his hand away and kept arguing with him. But you know what the difference is?
you may look at that and say, man, if one of my friends did that, these are grown-ass dudes who are both hyper-competitive. Chris is like a different kind of level of competitive. James is competitive, too. And they, I'm sure it was no big deal. By the middle of the game, it was probably no big deal. By the end of the game, it was no big deal. I doubt that's the first time that's ever happened. I've seen P.J. Tucker go after James. P.J. Tucker got after James in a game that was a game winner. And I asked P.J. Tucker about this at Daryl Morey's musical, Small Ball. I said, hey, you kind of got on James. And he went to the free throw line, missed those free throws. And then I can't remember the game where the Rockets won. Last second shot by Chris Paul. Remember, Chris Paul took over and made a last second shot against somebody late in the season. And I said, you got on James when he got fouled and went to the free throw line. I said, was that because he didn't make the pass that was open, one pass over? He goes, yeah. He said, I just told him, man, you got to, I was showing him where the double was coming from, and he had to recognize where the double was coming from. And he didn't recognize where the doubles come from. And I just let him know that, PJ wasn't having that. I don't care if you got to the free throw line. Be smarter. Know where the double's coming from. And that's why James requires, and that's probably different. I don't know that Dream didn't always play the smartest basketball all the time. But Dream didn't require somebody to you feel like James needs a PJ Tucker and a Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You feel like he needs that to keep him between the lines, right? Who's the other star? None of the guys you mentioned, Clyde Drexler, Dream. I mean, that's rare. What stars in any sport do you think, hey, this guy's great, he's an unbelievable... I mean, maybe you have a guy like Allen Iverson, you felt like Eric Snow could provide a little bit of balance for him, and AI got a little crazy.
Because AI was AI.
Yeah, but there haven't been many of those kind of guys where they're such kind of wild childs, either on the court or off the court or both, where they need someone to kind of stabilize them. Like, who are those guys? There have been some in baseball.
Josh Heroin.
Yeah. Josh Heroin. Josh, what's his name with the Rangers and Angels? Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, Josh Hamilton.
Yeah. He needed somebody.
Yeah.
He needed
Josh Heroin.
Josh Heroin.
That's his name on the show, apparently.
Actually, that was it. Well, that was a problem he had. Yeah, but I mean, other than, because James, I don't believe has a huge drug problem. I mean, there's absolutely no indication of that. So, no, James needs, there's so many things to talk about here, but we got to take a break because we're going to be joining 94.1 and Raheel Ramzanali will be joining the show as well.
Yeah, I like Raheel. I know that guy. When's he coming on the show?
He's coming on the show next, right here.
I hope there's nothing by his seat that is chewed up gum.
Well, I hope there's none of that anyway. I just hope there's none of that. What I do hope is that everybody gets out to see the Skeeters. SugarlandSkeeters.com. SugarlandSkeeters.com. The Sugarland Skeeters are ready for you to get on out to the ballpark and watch and enjoy baseball. So they are back at it tonight, as a matter of... Oh, no, excuse me. They're away, and they will be home on... they will be home on Monday, May 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So... tickets available at SugarlandSkeeters.com, SugarlandSkeeters.com. They're going to be playing the Blue Crabs, okay? Is there anything better than the Blue Crabs? They got them for like a month. They'll be here at Constellation Field. No, actually, the 14th through the 20th, you can watch the Blue Crabs here at Constellation
Literally Field. Literally Monday through Sunday, right? You got games going Monday through Sunday from the 14th through the 20th. They got dogs at the park. They got the puzzle giveaway. They got Thirsty Thursdays with $2 beer and sodas, Girl Scout sleepover, baseball and education day. So to find out which one of those is available on which days, go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. But this is a great opportunity for you to pick a day and also take your family, take your Little League team out there to the park. If you get a hold of them early enough, they also will have Little League team, like a team, come out on the field before the game. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
$2 margaritas on Monday, $1 dog Monday as well. Baseball and education day, we're going to be there May 15th. Kids in free on Wednesdays, Thirsty Thursdays. Girl Scout sleepover on Friday, May 18th. Post-game fireworks. It's the first time that'll ever happen in a minor league stadium on a Friday night. Skeeters puzzle giveaway on Saturday the 19th. Sunday fun day on the 20th. You got to get to SugarlandSkeeters.com. See what day is great for you. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
I don't think you guys really care what I say, just like I don't really care what you say.
ESPN 97.5.